The Silver Screen Projects.
Welcome to the Silver Screen Project, where we look back at a series of films in anticipation of an exciting new cinema release.
In preparation for the hotly anticipated DreamWorks film Kung Fu Panda 4, we're going through the original trilogy of Kung Fu Panda films, starting with 2008's Kung Fu Panda. What did you think of Kung Fu Panda?
Yeah, I feel like this is the first time I've watched this all in one go. Like, I didn't remember the intro at all, like when he's having the dream, and it's quite a fun, like, animated scene. Yeah. I think one of the only 2D, you know, traditional animated sequences in this. Yeah. But yeah, I enjoyed it. I mean, it because I didn't watch it as a kid or as a younger person, I feel like I didn't have the attachment that some people might have. Mm-hmm. But I can appreciate the voice cast, the action's really good. The story's okay for me, but yeah, I think it's pretty good. What about you?
I really like Kung Fu Panda. Yeah, I think people who know me in real life won't be surprised to hear that I very highly rate these films.
Yeah.
And this first one is just like a classic. Obviously, I wasn't like a kid when this came out.
Right.
And I think I didn't see it in cinema or anything. I only picked it up like a few years later.
Mm.
And so I was like, you know what? This is just what kids' films should be.
Yeah,
It's like... Got a fun setting, a fun cast of characters, a great voice cast. The story is all well meaning and good, and like, yeah, it's a fun little
positive
story.
I feel like the message is a little bit muddled, but not like in a bad way. I just feel like it could be a clearer moral.
But, yeah, but you know, generally, it's 2008.
It's got good vibes, and I think you mentioned the cast. The cast are great in
the cast. It's got some big names for like a mid 2000s anime. Obviously, Jack Black is Poe.
Yeah,
but like even Lucy Liu, Angelina Jolie, Jackie Chan with like two lines.
Yeah, he's Jackie Chan, isn't he?
Yeah, Seth Rogen, Dustin Hoffman,
David Cross, I think.
That's like quite a big list. Mm. And of course,
Ian McShane is the bad guy.
Ian McShane, and they're all really good. Like, they all like really go into it. None of them phone it in, although maybe they did literally phone it in because you can do that for this.
I think,
but like, they all put, especially Jack Black. Jack Black's great in this.
He is good, yeah. And I think you can really see that because the animators could really easily kind of tailor the animation to the performance.
Yeah.
Especially in McShane, he's got some great moments where he's kind of monologuing or, you know, he's quite a sympathetic villain. We could talk about it in more detail, but like, yeah, you can see they can kind of tailor the face animation really well, which some, I mean, I've got a bit of a snobbish thing with DreamWorks, and I think that might be part of the reason why I don't, like, I didn't watch this film earlier.
That's fair, lots
but
of people
some
do.
DreamWorks animation isn't the greatest in this period. Like, Shrek was good, Shrek 2 was good, and then
it's
I feel
hit and
like,
miss. I think this works. I think the mixer you mentioned, they've got the 2D animated stuff in there.
Yeah.
That thrown in there as well. Yeah. They complement each other quite well, and we see more of that across this trilogy.
Yeah, yeah.
And like,
It's normally for like flashbacks or storytelling
or dream sequences.
Whilst we're
on the voice cast, I love the line where Ian McShane hears about Poe and he's getting excited. Our battle will be legendary. it's just a great line.
I mean, as a villain in general, he's very intimidating. I know that you've made comparisons with the wolf from Puss in Boots, right? Until he was the best streamer animated villain.
A great villain, yeah.
And like, he's got some great action. Like, obviously the escape is fantastic.
The escape sequence is one of my favourite parts of this film because it's so good. And like, it's a bit like Rube Goldberg almost, things falling and causing other things.
And it's got that kind of like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, like elevated reality kind of, he's pouncing on the, almost like something like The Flash would do in like a DC thing. Like,
yeah.
But he's not super, you know, it's bending the rules of physics a little bit for the,
but
you know,
like
for the
believable enough.
And
the fact they make such a big deal about how like impenetrable this prison is. And it's like, no, that's just.
And then his first like action sequence after that, where it's like on the bridge and there's the part where he's kind of swinging in the mist and it's all, and he like the Furious Five, like he takes them out so easily, and it's kind of like, it's that thing of showing the power level of
he's a great villain. The power level. And then we get his backstory with Master Shifu
and
how he brought him up and then he turned evil, which did Star Wars steal for Ben Solo? Because it's essentially the same origin.
Yeah. I mean, we'll talk about the other films in future episodes. Yeah. The way that ends with how was he called?
Tai Lung.
Yeah. It's not super clear if he's completely exploded or not. I would love to see him back again in some way. I don't know if that happens in the one I haven't seen or the new one, maybe. But the fight with Shifu is great as well, because it's kind of like the master and apprentice kind of thing. There's some great bits, like he throws a big rock at him, and as Shifu like blows up the rock, he's like jumping through the bits of rock already, kind of thing. There's some weapon bits in that are really good.
Even though it's like a kid's animated film, they've clearly, like, the choreography is like a classic kung fu film kind arts. Of they've not dumbed it down for kids. They're like, no, we're making a martial arts film.
And I noticed as well, there's a couple of times where they say, like, in this one and I've seen the second one now, like, they say oh, this person died and stuff like that, and they don't really like shy away from the kind of mortality of characters and stuff, which some things is some kids films, they're like, oh, they're destroyed or they're not here anymore, like, a couple of times in this they're like, he killed this person,
he's dead. And like it you know, like you said, it doesn't shy away from that stuff, which I think it's not that, like, oh, you know, kids shouldn't watch this, but it's like it doesn't hide away from the reality of stuff.
I mean, it's also got some, we were talking about Star Wars-y Jedi vibes, Master Oogway having his kind of ascension thing is that is a little bit kiddie in a way, but it's also a little bit like Force Ghosty in a way as well.
George Lucas took a lot of inspiration from the classic, like, samurai films Master Oogway is great. Like, he's not in it much, but he is just like standout. He just like, I fucking love this guy off the bat. Similarly with Poe's dad, who's not named in this, but we later find out he's Mr. Ping.
Right, okay.
And he's like, just the sweet naivety throughout it is just like adorable. I really liked, like, there's so much, like, sequences that are really fun. Like, when Poe first gets into the temple and he's, like, nerding out about all the little artifacts and stuff. And then there's, like, when you first introduce the Furious Five, and they've designed them really well to all be, like, unique and have, like, there's bits where you see, like, their silhouette in front of the moon. That's what I
was going to say. Silhouettes is a good sign of a character design, really.
These are all fun characters. They're all kind of unique, and you don't... You cut the Tigress is obviously the main one, but the others all like get apart.
Yeah, they do. Yeah,
particularly on that like bridge fight is like which is the funny bit with Mantis is the one holding up all of it.
Yeah. I mean, just generally the animation. I haven't got loads to say about this because, you know, I'm not the biggest fan, like, generally, so I haven't thought about this masses in the past. The animation, from it being what, like, 7 years after Shrek, I feel like it's leaps and bounds from Shrek 1.
Yeah,
like, I know they probably had maybe Shark Tale in the middle or something like that.
Yeah, they would have
maybe something else, but like a lot of this really stands up. And I didn't watch it in the best quality. I think I had a pretty decent version of it. But you know, you could tell just the textures. Yeah. There's a lot of hair in this.
See, it's because it's animals. Like, textures is so crucial. But when you've got like Viper and Poe and Tigress and Mantis, like, clearly different textures, but you can tell. Another kind of set piece or section that I really enjoy is the montage of Poe training with Shifu with the food.
Yeah, with the dumplings and his... And it kind of comes back with the scroll, is it, at the end?
Like, it's just a great sequence, and it's it's just a really fun watch.
There's some funny bits that I can mention, like when Shifu is... When you think he's dying at the end and he's like, I'm just trying to, like, fucking rest. There's quite a few funny bits throughout, but...
There's lots of, like, slaps stick comedy as well, Jackie Chan, classic Jackie Chan type, like, fighting slapstick stuff.
Especially, because the style that Poe kind of develops is that kind of, it's almost like, what do you call it, like the drunken monkey thing, where it's kind of like a bit not sure what you're doing, but like it turns out to be intentional kind of thing. He's going with his gut kind of thing, but uses literally his environment and literally using his gut quite a lot. I've got I'm not so sure about certain parts of it. I don't know if you want to go on any more positives before that.
I think we've got...
It's not a massive...
Did you notice the Wilhelm scream? And
I think I did, yeah.
Tai Lung's escape.
Yes, yeah. So the only thing that kind of bugged me with it is I don't know if I missed the like point of it, but I feel like it's a bit confusing where... So Po is the Dragon Warrior, but it's kind of like, does he have innately better abilities than others, or is it just that his spirit is so pure that he can kind of do kung fu better than other people? Because the scroll is kind of saying, believe in yourself, there is no secret ingredient.
Which is great.
But it seems like he is better than everyone else, but also like... he's not, because he doesn't know what he's doing a lot of it. It's just because he's bouncing people around. Like, I think I was thinking about it too much.
Yeah, I think there's that element of... I think we spoke about it recently when we did the zone of, like, somebody's characteristic being lucky.
Yeah,
and, like, he's got that, and that's why he's... And, like, he's the Dragon Warrior because he's the only one that could do what he does, because he's got that luck and kind of...
Yeah, I suppose that. Yeah,
characteristics.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's kind of like a don't judge a book by its cover thing as well.
And it's like the Dragon
Warrior... But he does train hard for it as well. You mentioned the training sequence.
Yeah, but it's like the Dragon Warrior isn't the best at Kung Fu as they're led to believe. It's a very specific kind of...
Because I couldn't remember if it was going to be like we're all the Dragon Warrior thing, but it's still kind of like he is still the Dragon Warrior, but it's also... It's a bit of a meaningless title that I guess Oogway just kind of made maybe to inspire people to work harder and stuff. And that's why the scroll in the end is just empty, kind of thing. Yeah. So, but it seems strange that if that was the purpose, that he was going to do the ceremony to reveal it anyway. But maybe it's because he foretold that Poe was going to turn up, and like it's kind of just fated to be that way. I don't know. I think I am thinking about it too much. But
fate and destiny, isn't it?
It's work hard. Don't judge a book by its cover. Yeah. And just do your thing. Basically, that seems to be the...
I was going to say, the only real negative I've got, which isn't really massively a negative because it's a kid's film, but like, the fact that Poe is kind of the only character in it whose origin is like unique and like original, is it? Like all the other characters in it are like, oh yeah, I've seen this archetype or this archetype or this archetype, which, you know, it's a small criticism because it's a kid's film and it's going to be filled with that. But a lot of the story as well is like, oh yeah, it's that classic story.
Yeah, yeah, because like you said, it's doing a bit of a George Lucas and picking and choosing from certain kind of Eastern stories and archetypes and that sort of thing, which, isn't the worst thing in the world. Yeah. But
I did really like the Chinese set, like,
when they actually mention the building design
and everything.
Yeah, they say at one point, like, all of China kind of thing. I'm like, oh, okay, you are actually set in China.
It's straight
like
on China.
It is, which is interesting, because sometimes they just kind of, they give it a new name or something, and it's like, what is it?
Just vaguely East Asian.
Need? Yeah, something. Like that.
So I've got three bits of trivia for us. The first one, the animators took a 6-hour kung fu class to get an idea of the movie's action.
Nice.
Always good to get the people making it to know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And then to get the ambience of the movie, production designer Raymond Zibak and art director Heng Tang spent several years researching Chinese art and kung fu movies. Mm. This effort, combined with the rest of the crew's extensive research and knowledge of Chinese culture, so impressed the Chinese that they were meeting by official government cultural bodies to discuss why their own country has not produced animated movies of such quality themselves. They're like, well, how the fuck are the Americans making better kids' kung fu movies?
Well, it is one that's been kind of taken under its wing by China. I think they've been quite, you know, as a state, being quite supportive of it.
Yeah, because a panda's a symbol of China as well, and kung fu.
And I imagine that, because I know that there's certain things, like, I think it's things like ghosts and undead is something that they don't like to put in films in China if possible.
Yeah.
There's lots of other things as well. People of certain races sometimes as well. But I imagine that's maybe shaped the future, the following films of this franchise, because DreamWorks, you know, they probably want it to be big in China. It's like a quarter of the world in terms of, you know, what do you call it? Block box office.
Box office.
Blocks office. I was going to say blockbuster. Yeah.
And yeah, I've got the third bit of trivia. And, the individual fighting styles of the Furious Five members, Crane, Mantis, Tigress, Monkey and Viper, are actual Kung Fu styles modelled after the particular animals.
Nice.
Poe's fighting style was modelled after bear style Kung Fu.
Okay.
I was like, that's a fun little thing. They're like, oh yeah, rather than having these characters and giving the thing, let's look up the fighting styles and mould the characters around that.
Yeah, makes sense.
And then build their fighting styles around that. I was like, yeah, that's cool. That makes sense. I like as well on that how, like, even though they're, like, animals, they're still clearly doing, like, Kung Fu. Like, even, like, Viper, who's a snake, is still clearly doing Kung Fu.
Yeah, it's quite. It must be quite a hard thing to go from zero to this end result kind of thing.
Yeah.
You've got to plan out, how does a snake do Kung Fu? How does a bird do... You know, some of it's, like you say, more obvious than others. Yeah. If they've got a...
Tigress is more anthropomorphized, so straightforward. Yeah, but overall, I really like this film. So I guess the only thing to do is ask you whether this makes you more or less hyped for Kung Fu Panda 4, Progress or Progress No.
Yeah, it's a Progress. Yeah, I mean, I wasn't massively hyped going into this. It's a good film. I don't know how the franchise carries on. Most films...
Have you seen any of the others?
Before yesterday, I hadn't seen all of one, and that was it. I hadn't seen anything else.
Right.
I've now watched two, as you know.
Yeah.
We haven't talked about it yet, but and three I haven't watched at all.
Okay, cool. So,
and four's out fairly soon, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, that's why we're doing this.
Yep.
What about you?
Maybe this week. I've seen all of them.
Progress or Progress?
Progress. I mean, it's really fun to be back in this world. Yeah, like, it's fun, and... I enjoy these films. I think the last time I saw this one was probably 2 or 3 years ago, so I'm glad I kind of still held up the same kind of view on it as I have in the past.
That's good.
But yeah, that is Kung Fu Panda.
Yeah, and if you like this, we've got loads more stuff on the same podcast channel about various projects throughout pop culture and history.
Bye.
Bye. Kung Fu, bye.
Project.